The Rap. With Eric Smith and Paul Jones.
Welcome back to the ACC. Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you. Just outside the ACC, inside Maple Leaf Square, and inside Real Sports Apparel, to be specific, right across the way from Real Sports Bar and Grill. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Toronto winning tonight, 99-92. They improved to 18-35, and next action comes on Tuesday when Toronto hosts a team that has had their number this season, the normally lowly Charlotte Bobcats, who have gotten healthy against the Raptors a couple of times already this year.
Yep. Bobcats, single digits win stills, right? And two of those against Toronto.
Well, we'll see if the Raptors can turn those fortunes a little bit coming up on Tuesday. Again, 7 o'clock tip right here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan will have all of the action starting at 7, just before tip, with halftime coverage that night. No postgame, as we will hop on a flight immediately to Philadelphia as the Raptors will play in the back-to-back against the Sixers on Wednesday. But this game specifically tonight, a 7-point victory for the Raptors. It got a little tense down the stretch as the Wizards cut the lead to 3 and 4, respectively, in the dying 90 seconds and then 45 seconds of the game. And then a late 3-ball as well shaved the lead down to 3 yet again. But Toronto goes on to win by 7, 99-92. Strong performance overall from Andrea Bargnani with 18 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, just 1 turnover. Balanced attack for the Raptors. They were leaking a little bit of oil, but still found a way to slam the door shut. And when all is said and done, they lead wire to wire. The game was tied only twice. Washington never held a lead in this game. The Wizards falling to 12-40. The Raptors improving to 18-35. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's kick off the calls right now with Aaron in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, Aaron.
Good. Just about Andrea. Last game he had one rebound and everyone was just ripping him. I think everyone just got to take a step back and relax and stop looking at a one-game sample size. Tonight, as you read from the stats, he had a great game, balanced attack from every angle. He's improving in every category everyone has complained about. That I give credit to Dwayne Casey on that. And it's not his job to grab 12 rebounds a game. That's not the type of player he is. So I think with a added addition of Valanciunas next year, that's going to be him, that in-and-out game like he got in Dallas with last year with Tyson Chandler and Dirk, that sort of thing. So I think everyone's got to relax on Bargnani, just let him do his thing, let him keep on improving on the defensive end, and I think we'll see good things starting soon. And I'll just hear your comments on that. Thanks,
well,
guys.
Thanks for the call. Look, people that are, and I always say this, people that are square don't die round. The guy's never been a rebounder. Yes, he has to rebound better, no question. We said it during the Miami game in the first half, and it's a general observation. He has not looked as engaged since he's come back after the injury. That being said, if he doesn't score 14 points in the third quarter of that game against Miami, Toronto's not in it. So, yeah, he gives at one end, and he takes away at the other. Well, you can put somebody else in. You may get better defense, but you might not get the offense. What are you willing to live with?
Well, 3 of the last 6, he's gone for 21+. 5 of the last 6, he's gone for 17+. And he's only had all season 2 games where he has rebounded in double figures. And both of those came prior to January 11th. He has not had a double-figure rebounding game since January 11th. Now, granted, he's only played in a handful of games because of the injury. He had 2 games when he came back, Phoenix and Utah, where he had 36-25. But 6 rebounds and 5 rebounds. And then since his return, 3-8-8-2-7-3-2-5-7-7-3-5-1-8 tonight.
Has anything changed? I just see a guy who is not quite as engaged. And that's, you got to live with that. I mean, and we asked him straight up on the post game. If you were with us, you heard it. What's the motivation like? Because it's got to be tough going through what we went through last year. Like, here we are playing out the string again. I'm playing for nothing. And he needs to be motivated as a professional athlete. He needs to show his best because he's being evaluated all the time. But at the same time, The guy is what he is, and you're either going to have him as a part and build with him, not around him, because he's not the main guy. And if you trade him, as everybody wants him to trade it, what are you going to get for him? So, you know what? I'm tired of flogging that horse that ain't moving.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Coming into the ball game, just if we look at the season statistics as well, Bargnani averaging 19.4 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. So those are the season totals. The 5.5 rebounds, just under his career high, which came two seasons ago in 09-10 when he averaged 6.2. That's the best he's ever done, the 19.4, 2 points off his career high in scoring, which was set last year when it was 21.4.
Yeah, and in a defensive system this year, and if he was qualified with enough games, he would be a top 20 scorer. We've said it before. Look at the end of the year, how many guys average 20 a game? There's basically maybe one on every team. So you pick your poison. What are you going to live with? What are you going to decide to do? And that doesn't mean that if the right deal doesn't come along, you wouldn't make a move, but you certainly can't trade him just because you're frustrated. I mean, that doesn't work. You don't make moves like that out of frustration and where emotion is the overriding factor.
Well, heading into action tonight, just to put a little exclamation point on the point you just made, Jonesy, heading into action tonight, there are, or were, 12 players in the NBA averaging over 20 points. And if you include the guys that are averaging a little more
plus
than 19, then you would be talking about 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 players that are either 19.0 and up, let alone the 12 on the nose that are 20 plus themselves. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors beating the Wizards 99-92. We'll take your calls right up until 10 o'clock tonight. Get some reaction from the locker rooms coming up a little bit later on as well. Right now we go to Miles in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Miles.
Hi. When Colangelo first came here, I was an avid fan. I talked to a cousin from down in where he was the coach, and they said it's a brilliant guy. I went to the games. The first year he did a brilliant job. The East was very weak compared to the West. He did do a brilliant job. He created a team out of nothing. As far as I'm concerned now, as long as he's been there, I dropped my season tickets after the second year because I didn't believe he can build a team around Chris Bosh. There were no teams built around a four, but he kept trying to. And the fact that he's got no all-star players shows that I think he's a great... To do analogy of baseball, because I know nothing about baseball, but I like listening to it. To me, he's a closer. Somebody's got to go down there, get to the bottom, and get the pieces, and then you got a closer. But like this year was the perfect year. You got a good center coming up. They got some good pieces. If they had gotten the guard to actually run the thing, an elite guard, it's possible they could have had a really good team. But he's not willing to do it. He wasn't willing to dump the players to get to the position to get the key guy. And it for me, it was incredibly disappointing. I remember me talking to him at an interview thing, and he said he can't dump the team because they got partners that they work with in the corporations. But that's a joke. Nobody goes to the games anymore unless the other team's enticing. I just think it's very disappointing. Anyway.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Guys that you want to change... Sometimes there's salary constraints. Jose Calderon's making a whole lot of money, and it might be tough to take somebody who's making $10 million if they don't see a place for him. I bet you Jose gets a lot of sniffs next year if he's with the team come trade deadline. An expiring contract of a veteran player who can run a team, even though he's making a lot of money. Yeah, you'll take that on your books for a little while, knowing it's coming off. So, yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, you know, I thought he did a good job the first couple of years and turning the team over, and we've gone through this. And not many teams build around a four. You're right. But at the same time, going out and trying to find a five-man or a guard, if there aren't guys there, then, you know, you're wasting your time trying to do something and beat somebody else at their own game. Try a different way. And I think that's what he tried to do, and I thought they were successful for the first couple of years. The coach was fired at 8-9 the year after that. And then the following year, that should have been a playoff team because he went out and got pieces. So that being said, let's see what happens because it's a different kind of rebuild now, as we've stated, with Valanciunas coming over and Bosch gone from the scene. This is the second year removed.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We'll come back after the 9 o'clock sports update. Continue with your phone calls right up until 10 o'clock. So if you're online, stay there. We're back in less than 2 minutes as we talk about the Raptors' 99-92 victory over the Wizards on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Raptors tonight beating the Wizards 99-92. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Toronto improves to 18-35 with the victory in front of 16,858 tonight. Charlotte comes to town on Tuesday, then the back-to-back in Philly on Wednesday. We continue to take your phone calls again right up until 10 o'clock, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell.
Eric, and I know you're up on this more than I am. It's not a number that I often keep track of, but attendance. And our last caller said, you know, he's given up his season tickets. And I understand that. I mean, there's only so much disposable income that people have. But even tonight, a Sunday night, Washington in town, 16,000. Now, I don't know if they're papering the house.
There have been a lot of deals this year, wag, jag, and team buy, and all those things. But they're still paying
16,000.
Might be 50% off. It might be 20% off, 60% off. I don't even know what. But people are still paying something.
16,000, and these guys, you know. Come to the game.
Also come to the game. Sites like Go Babu.
Are they part of the get a deal for the Raptors?
Hey,
too?
Hey, deals and deeper discounts.
All right.
GoBabu.com.
All right. Well, GoBabu might have to find me some concert tickets for my daughter or something like that. I got a teenager. Yeah,
we got a hookup now, right?
All right. Well, hey, whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes. But look, the point is. Almost 17,000 on a Sunday night for a 12-win opponent. That's pretty good. I mean, we've been to places around the league where, as I use my line, people laugh, good sections still available. You can walk up an hour before the game, and you know, Toronto's not the only place that has deals. There are some of these places where, you know, we see it advertised on the scoreboard, the family pack, four seats, four hot dogs, four drinks, you know, and parking included with four seats for, you know, $85 in the lower bowl or whatever. I mean, ridiculous deals. Because they want people. They want butts in seats.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Raptorized John in Toronto. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590.
Hey,
The Fan.
Two nights in a row.
Yo, my brother, count your lucky stars, man. It's April Fool's, you know? Hey, man, well, you know, like, Cake Nation is frowning and the pizza people are hungry, you know? Peace Nation, you know, went home hungry tonight. But I guess, you know, like my question is, Who do you think the Raptors are looking at in free agency for next year? You know, is there anybody that stands out that they might be making a target of besides Nash? You know, I don't know. I don't know how much that is. I know that Bobcat is in love with him, like to have him here, but he is kind of old, and you know, I don't think Toronto is the place you want to come to. But is there anybody else out there that Toronto might want to entice with the money they got from Barboza deal?
Appreciate the call, John. Here's the thing right now. When you talk about the free agency, I think you kind of, in some senses, answered the question within your own question, because I think it will come first. Do they do anything? Are they able to do anything in terms of a trade? And thus, what's left, if anything, to be able to go out and sign a free agent Jonesy as well? So the splash, if there is a splash to come, if there's a marquee move to be made, it might come via trade,
yes,
as opposed to via signing. Because if they make the deal and if they use a good chunk of the money that they have because of the trade, then as we discussed last game, if they wanted to also then do something via free agency, it would have to come at the expense of somebody being
amnestied,
yeah, and yeah, having their contract essentially bought out, and the Raptors get 75% of the value of that deal to go out and spend in free agency. So I think one will depend on the other. I mean, if you're able to get a top five pick, then get a player or two via a trade, and I'm talking obviously a significant trade. If you're talking $12 million to play with, you're likely taking a relatively big piece or a couple of decent pieces back in return, and maybe not giving up as much because you've got the financial wiggle room to accommodate a team that's maybe looking to unload a contract that they can no longer afford, but it's a player that you feel can still contribute, play at a high level, and play well for your team.
Well,
then you've added the top pick with a player or two in the trade, with Valanciunas coming over, and you say, all right, is it time to strike with the right guy via an amnesty and sign that guy, or do you just move forward with what you have and you kind of stay on the path because you like what you got? Because it's really, to me, the dominoes and the way they're going to fall in line.
I think that scenario shouldn't be underplayed, Eric, where you can trade for a guy who is a good player and it may not be happening on the team that he's at, or there's a young guy behind him. He's been in the league 5 or 6 years, pushing him, ready to come up, and you can absorb that salary. Heck, I mean, you can package it. Let's say you get the three pick, the third pick, or the fourth pick, and you say you make a deal with that team, you get the veteran, and you trade down for a sixth pick. So you still get a relatively high pick, and you get a player you feel you can help. So there's all kinds of scenarios in play, John. I just think that you have to wait and see. You know, let the GM make the phone calls and see who's available, because, as I said before, a lot of fans have no idea how many phone calls are just made every day. Hey, what's going on? What would it take to
That's
get
part something? Of the job,
it's
right?
Part of the job. It's part of the job. And, you know, they come flying out as rumors. Well, yeah, the rumor, it's not a rumor. We made a phone call. Team X said no.
Well, I mean, if I'm an owner, that's what I would want from my general manager, is making phone calls every day, just to see what's out there, what's available, and to keep in touch, at the very least, to keep the relationship strong amongst the general managers for deals that may come down the road. I think we've said this a couple of times, I think, over the course of the season as well, Jonesy, that we got a bit of a glimpse via Hollywood as to what it's kind of like. I'm sure sensationalized a little bit with Moneyball and getting a sense of, you know, watching Brad Pitt as Billy Bean and the phone calls that are made every day and what would it take to get this guy and what do you like for my team and just the orchestrating of deals and just the calls that go on a daily basis just to kind of plant the seed or just to kick the tires. Okay,
yeah.
Nothing there? All right, no problem. And you call back again
move
in a couple weeks, or you move on to another team, or you wouldn't be doing your job even if you were on a 50-win team, let alone a 15-win team, if you weren't trying to improve your team, if not now, setting yourself up to improve your team down the road.
Even a championship team makes moves in the offseason. You don't bring everybody back. There's some turnover.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Paul in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey there, guys. I have a question for you. I didn't watch the game tonight, but I've been sort of paying attention to the Raptors off and on this season because I've been losing interest. But it seems that every time I look at the standings, there's about eight teams that are sort of at the bottom, and they're all within one or two wins of each other, and the Raptors are in there. And then there's, you know, about eight or ten teams that are really doing spectacularly well, and then ten that are sort of all in the middle, and three or four wins can change it completely for any of those teams. And so this unevenness in the league is really alarming to me because it makes me lose interest completely. I'll watch the 10 really amazing, fun teams to watch, and then the rest, it just seems it doesn't matter what goes on. And I'm wondering, to me, it seems like there's, why is this happening? Is there something in the league that's allowing this to happen? Because I feel like our management team at the Raptors, they're not terrible. I feel it's a good team. I feel like they know what they're doing, but it seems like no matter what they do, they're never going to get out of this bottom part. Like, why is there such unevenness in the league? Do you know? Like, do you have any opinions?
Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, well, Jonesy's got one. Go ahead, Jonesy.
I'm not going to go for that. I think it's a case where sometimes winning begets winning, and players as free agents are more likely to go to a place where they can win, regardless of what the weather's like or what the taxes are like or whatever. I mean, for years the Clippers have been a bottom feeder. Now all of a sudden they make one deal, and let's face it, there is also some luck involved too. And once you get on that good track, the idea is to stay there and try and build. And as much as I thought the Raptors did a good job when Brian Colangelo first came to the Raptors, that third year when the coach was let go and the team fell out of the playoffs, that's when they got on the wrong track. They weren't able to get back into the playoff structure until the next year, the year after that, the final, four or five games, and they lost a playoff spot. It was unfortunate, but they haven't been able to get it back since.
416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Continue to take your phone calls right up until 10 o'clock as the Raptors beat the Wizards 99-92. We go back to the calls. Tom in Ajax, go ahead here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Eric. Hey, Paul. I wanted to talk to you guys about the Raptors uniforms that they wore tonight. In case there's fans that only listen to the game, they're wearing battle fatigues to honor the Canadian forces.
Right.
I really think that the Raptors could do something a lot better to honor the troops other than wearing something that looks ridiculous on the court. A pregame ceremony, having some veterans as honorary captains for the game, something at halftime, something during a commercial break, give the dance pack a break and do something on the video board for the veterans. But what they were wearing out there tonight was downright embarrassing and as far as I'm concerned, just inappropriate. I don't know if you guys want to touch on this at all because it's kind of a hot potato. I know people don't like to sound like they're against the troops or anything like that, and I'm not against the troops, for the record. I just don't think that was an appropriate way to show the Raptors support for the Canadian troops abroad.
All right, well, thanks for the call. I will say this, as a Canadian, I'm a little bit disappointed that we don't do more for our troops and honor them more. Eric and I travel the U.S. and they talk about the people they brought back, and I think the Raptors, and I know the Leafs do it too, I think the Raptors have done a nice job. Regardless of what you want to say about the uniforms, this was, I think, the third or fourth time?
This was the third, and there is going to be one more.
Okay, this is the third time they've done it. The first time they did it on Armed Forces Night, they honored all those
people. They did everything that you just mentioned
in terms of honorary captains.
And
video board, yeah. had a service person, man, male or female, introduced with a member of the starting lineup, video board tributes. They had the anthem. I forget the gentleman's name. He just makes my patriotic blood boil when I hear him singing the anthem. He sings it with such pride and such passion. I wish I could remember the gentleman's name. He's done it before at Leaf games. Just outstanding. And I look. You might not like the uniforms, but I think it's the symbolism that you have to look for, as opposed to the aesthetics. Here's what we're doing to draw some attention to our troops. We appreciate what you're doing. We'd like to honor you for taking up the cause and allowing us to have what we have. And, you might not like what they look like, but I like the thought and the symbolism behind it.
I would echo pretty much everything you say, Jonesy. Tom, I don't really have a problem with the jerseys themselves because, again, as everything you brought up in terms of what they could have or should have done, they have done. They did it for the one game. Now, they're wearing the jersey three more times after that original night. Tonight was the third of four, and there is one more coming before the end of the year. They're also donating proceeds from the sale of the jerseys. I believe it's 20% are going to the armed forces and various charities and whatnot. So they are donating money from the sales of every jersey sold. So that's a good thing. There wasn't as much military involvement in terms of honoring the military as they did in that first game with the player intros and whatnot, but there were soldiers from various ranks of the armed forces in the stands tonight in private boxes and whatnot. I know that on the actual original armed forces night, and I can say this as a season seat holder, Jonesy, as well, that even within your season ticket package, you were sort of prompted or even pushed to, if you feel motivated to do so, this would be a great night to donate your tickets so that we could put even more soldiers and members of the armed forces in the crowd and in the stands.
And the other things that people can do outside of, you know, the arena as well in helping to recognize the troops. I know this for a fact. I know that my brother was on a first-class flight recently from Canada to the U.S., saw a service person, gave up his first-class seat, said, "Hey, man, where are you sitting?" "Well, I'm back in, 22B. Mark said, "Hey, you sit here in 6A. I'm going back there." I mean, there are little things that you can do, and those people give up, and they literally are willing to give up their lives. I mean, there's lots that you can do to help them out.
I will say this from a business perspective, and we're standing here right now inside the Real Sports apparel store. The one thing I would like to see, and listen, I'm not the business guy. I don't even know if it's financially feasible and the costs that are involved and everything else. I would like to see either more money going from the sales of the jerseys, not just the 20%, or the jerseys being sold at a bit less than the regular jerseys. I mean, if it's whatever it is, if it's $80 for a black, white, or red jersey, maybe it's $60 for the camo jersey with 20% going, just to maybe try and generate more business for more jerseys sold to thus raise that much more money. That's the only thing I would say in terms of a negative or a criticism. But again, that's coming from a guy that has basically no business merchandising type experience, just coming from a layman's perspective.
Hey, get them signed and auction them off. See if that and give the money there. So there's lots they can do, and I'm not going to fault.
Overall, it's a worthy cause.
The people at Maple Leaf Sports have done a terrific job on the Leafs side and the Raptors side. I'm sorry about my ignorance towards Toronto FC. I'm not sure what they're doing. I'm sure there's something, but I know the Leafs and the Raptors have done, I think, enough and done some stuff to try and honor the military.
All right, we're running a little bit behind, so we're going to get the 20 Sports update. Come right back to your phone calls. Brandon, Justin, Matt, Dave, Jesse, and more. We're coming right back to you on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you here till 10 o'clock tonight. Phone lines open at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. The Raptors beating the Wizards tonight, 99-92. Andrea Bargnani, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, led the way for Toronto. Calderon, 15-8. And two, the two being the steals and rebounds. One turnover in the ballgame for Calderon, 36 minutes of action. On the other side, it was Jordan Crawford with 18 to lead the way. John Wall had the double-double, 13 points, 11 assists. But the Raptors, again, get the win now, 18-35, as they get set to host the Bobcats on Tuesday. Back to the lines we go, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Brandon, hanging around somewhere here, the ACC, Real Sports, somewhere. I'm not sure. Go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
Good, Brandon.
Thanks. Good. Just went to the game, saw the game. It was okay. But what I really want to talk about, guys, is next year, big-time Raptors fan. I've been following them since I was a kid. Next year, I heard you guys talking about the draft and all that. I came out of Real Sports Bar, kind of caught on the last bit of that conversation you guys were having about next year. Spending the $12 million, all that. Just wondering, or actually just kind of a thought, I was thinking about like what the Thunder did years ago. I kind of want to see the Raptors do that. And I don't know, like... In what way?
What, you'd like to see the Raptors do what? Like get a number two pick and finally get a guy and grow with them?
That's the thing. I just don't want anything... spur of the moment. I don't want another Turgoo situation happening. You know, I don't know who was responsible for that trade. I mean, obviously management was. Obviously the front guys were. I don't know if the proper sort of intel was given. He didn't seem too passionate from day one. I just don't want to spend that $12 million on something just to fill a gap, just to make the fans happy. I hope they actually, you know, keep the vision in line. I hope they keep what they got going on in line. I don't know. I'm really happy with what they're doing now. I'm the one guy in my work who gets ripped on for being a Raps fan, and I'm actually really happy with what's going on. I'm happy that they're, you know, giving Aaron Gray a lot of minutes, developing a good center. You know, he could be a great center next year. You know, 10-10, that's all we need from him, you know?
Yeah, no, that'd be good. And, you know, in a backup role or something like that, I get where you're coming from. But, look, Anthony Davis is number one. Mock drafts depends on who you listen to and where. You got Drummond, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Jack and I talked about him at halftime. You take a guy, and if you think you have a star, Brandon,
yeah,
it's going to take you like 3 years to develop that guy into, I mean, look at Durant. Look at the record of his team the first
right.
couple of years. And I'll say this. I know you're cautious with the $12 million.
Yeah.
But if you look at that Turkoglu trade,
yeah,
Turkoglu was the number one, arguably the number one free
Absolutely.
Agent on the market. So it and they had an idea of how they were going to play and all of that. It just didn't work out. And then, you know, they cut bait after a year. But I don't think it was at the time. Some people didn't like it. And you make a deal. Not everybody likes it all the time. I just
right.
thought with the way they were going to play, the deal made sense. And that being said, two-thirds of the way through the year at the All-Star break, they're only 3.5 games, 4 games behind the Celtics.
In spite of getting little to no production from him.
Yeah, and with the fifth seed. So I know what you mean. You got to be careful with that money.
I don't lie anymore.
But if you get that pick, Brandon, I still think, and even Valanciunas, people are looking forward to him coming over, I still think it's going to take the kid 2 to 3 years to adjust and fully culturally grasp everything and be a difference maker on a progressively increasing scale. He'll make a difference next year. You hope a little bit more the year after. And then, you know, by the third year, hopefully he's surrounded. And with this pick that they get next year, it's his second year. And the guy you've got as a free agent is in his third year. And things start to come together. You're right, Brandon. There will be no quick fix. And that doesn't mean that this team couldn't, you know, potentially contend for a playoff spot next year, because had things been different this year, who knows how close they could have been to 8.
Appreciate the phone call, Brandon. Thanks for giving us a buzz coming out of Real Sports. 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Justin in Whitby, go ahead. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Big fans.
Thank you.
Pretty good game today, despite the fact I took the over on the 192, but we'll let that go. I just kind of wanted to get to a guy called back maybe 3 or 4 calls ago talking about lack of parity, the bottom teams.
Yeah.
The reason I feel for that, my opinion obviously why that is I feel above any other league, the players just have far too much control. Now, I know people are going to argue looking back on what happened with the CBA and everything, that's not the case, but the demand of trades, that needs to stop. You gotta put together, how many times did Jordan lose? You know, I know everybody's not Jordan, but you gotta put together and stick it out and be there and do. And look, Bosch left and people hate on that, but he was here for years. He tried to make it
7 years. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You know, you got Chris Paul demanding trades. You got Carmelo Anthony. That situation was ridiculous. And how much,
well,
you know, it doesn't look like
I'll say this. Guys demand trades in every sport, but the nature of basketball with a roster of 15 guys, 12 that are active on any given night, and only 8 that really play. I mean, a guy's on the court and can have a bigger impact. I mean, you got a star player on the court for 35, 40 minutes of a 48-minute game. You know, people talk about, well, the guy got 22 minutes of ice time, you know, or a guy got, you know, 30 minutes of ice time. Well, that's half the game, and when you think about it, those are in 1 minute intervals or 45 second intervals. It's very different in basketball when you can get your hands on the ball like that. So I think that's part of it. Yeah, guys demanding trades, but I just think with the game set the way it is, one guy can have a huge impact.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. Raptors beating the Wizards tonight, 99-92. Back to it we go with Mike in Mississauga. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Mike.
I've been a Raptors fan, I guess, pretty much my whole life because the team came into existence shortly thereafter I was born. But I'm just wondering, this year and the last couple of years, I've had a really hard time with the second chance points and the lack of rebounding that they've had. And any good rebounder that they've had, be it Camby, be it Humphreys, be it anybody like that, they seem to, these guys seem to be the parts they consider interchangeable, and we end up with a lot of guys that settle for jump shots. You know more about Valanciunas than I do, but what do you think about the possibility of having him come here, but now that Bargnani has kind of raised his stock a little bit, maybe, I don't know, via the draft or trade, kind of trying to make something happen with a more defensive-minded either four or five to complement him?
Appreciate the phone call. I think that's a fair point and a fair scenario. And I think the easy answer is, I think everything will be considered at this point, because it's something that I think we've discussed a few times as well, Jonesy. When you think about looking ahead to next year, the seasons beyond, hypothetically, if you end up with, you know, the number one, two, three pick in the draft, are you going big? There are a lot of bigs available in this draft. And okay, a lot of people say, well, you've got Bargnani, though, you've got Valanciunas, you've got Amir Johnson, you got Ed Davis. Well, A, having a bunch of bigs is never a bad thing. Stockpiling as much talent as you possibly can is never a bad thing. But also using those pieces or a piece from that core to, yes, make a deal to shore up a weakness or depth in another position.
Yeah.
So I think to answer your question, yes, I think everything will be considered.
Because everyone's in play. Hey, everyone's in play.
At this point, there are a lot of needs in a lot of positions. So I don't think you can say no or an absolute no to anything at this point.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Eric, and as to answer our caller, everyone's in play. I think the Raptors have made a move this year to lay a foundation as a defensive team. Now, they've slipped lately, and you can point out a number of reasons as or potential explanations as to why, but they're in the top half of the league in fewest second chance points allowed, and that has slipped a bit recently. They were better, and their defense overall was better, you know, towards the middle of the season. And if, like I said, motivation, what you call it, whatever you want, you put your finger on it whatever way you want, they have slipped slightly. And you can bet Dwayne Casey will be on them for that. But they've got good reviews from good teams about the way they are trying to play. They may not have the pieces, but they are making an attempt to play winning slash playoff slash championship style basketball. Right now, they just don't have the parts. But it's good that they're trying to lay that foundation and play that way.
Let's go to Matt in London. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Matt. Go ahead, Matt. I believe Matt may be gone. Matt, if you want to give us a buzz back, we can try and get you on. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell. We'll try Matt apparently one more time. Go ahead, Matt.
Oh.
Matt, go ahead.
Oh, good. Sorry, I had dropped out. I was by Ancaster. Anyways, question about the amnesty. If a team opts and puts a player into amnesty, A, it's two questions, actually. Do they still get paid, or are they effectively done? And I have another question that I'd like to ask. So.
All right, well, the guy gets his money. Like, you pay him, and he goes away, and you have a portion of that money to go out and spend to go and get somebody else. But, yeah, that's – and it's only a one-time thing. You can't amnesty two or three guys, and it has to be under a contract – in a contract that was under the last agreement.
And are they able to do that year in year, like year after year?
No, one guy, one time.
Okay, all right. Okay, the second question refers to a player, Milwaukee, Ilyasova, who I believe is an unrestricted free agent. And I just wanted your take in terms of what he might bring to the Raptors.
Well, he's under contract right now to Milwaukee. And as you said, as a restricted free agent, a guy who's still on his rookie deal, the Bucks have the right to match you know, anything that anybody puts up for him. But look, a guy's a good player. He's a good young player. Steps out, shoots the three, defends, rebounds. But isn't it interesting, Eric? The night that Milwaukee was here, if I'm not mistaken, Ilyasova put up a donut in the rebounding column.
Yes.
So, you know, it happens. It happens. And I like what we hear, and I hopefully will like what I see when Jonas Valanciunas comes over. I don't know about his offense, but for a guy that is willing to set hard screens, roll hard to the basket, rebound, and protect the rim, that's going to fit pretty well in Dwayne Casey's system. And like I said, give me a kid like that. I'll work on his offense, and I'll turn him into a decent, productive enough offensive player within a team framework.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll continue with your phone calls after the 40 Sports Update. Try and get a little bit of reaction from the locker rooms as well as we hit it for another 20 minutes on The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
On Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to The Wrap on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Paul Jones, Eric Smith with you. Phone lines open still at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. We'll try and get some reaction from the locker room before 10 o'clock as well, but a lot of calls on the line that we want to get to as well, so we'll continue with it right now as we go to Andre in Toronto. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Eric. Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Good, Andre.
Good. Eric, I don't know if you remember, well, not remember, but I tweet you quite often on Twitter, Andre_Rod22.
Yeah, I've recognized the name. You do tweet quite a bit, so we've had a lot of interaction. Good for you to call in.
Yeah, for sure. Sorry to say I was watching the television cast today.
That's all right.
That's all right. They're good men. But, they do a good job.
Thanks. They do, but so do you guys. But Jack Armstrong brought up a great point about DeRozan's free throw attempts. How he's second in the league, I believe, right now.
Yeah, we said that too, that he's over the last, I don't know how many games. He's
3-4 games, yep.
Yeah, he's only behind Dwight Howard. And
Howard didn't play tonight, and DeRozan went for 9 more attempts. So technically, if you went by the averages, including DeMar's game, and with Howard being a DNP because of his back, I guess technically speaking, DeRozan would take over that number one spot.
Yeah, we credit our man John Russin for that, giving us that number. But it's good that he's attacking the basket. Dwayne Casey said, we just read it on Twitter via Raptors media relations, they had 3 free throws at halftime, and they told him attack the basket, and DeRozan did a good job of that. And I think that's how you establish yourself as a player. You drive in there, whether you get the call or not, keep taking it back in there, because people will realize that's, quote, your game, unquote, and they'll start to reward you.
And I think with Jonas coming next year, I mean, all the hype's around him. I think fans shouldn't forget what we have in DeRozan and how big he's going to be going down the road.
Well, let's hope that, you know, they all can meld together and Dwayne Casey can put all those pieces together. And, you know, like we said, there's going to be another high pick and there's money to spend. So, you know, the East, you look at the bottom of the East, spots 6 maybe, but 7 and 8 always seem to rotate and change every year, a different team's in. And once you get in, that's the idea now. Hold on to that spot and try to move up the ladder.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Keeping it going again right till 10 o'clock. Raptors tonight knocking off the Washington Wizards, 99-92. We'll get some reaction before 10 o'clock as well from the likes of Dwayne Casey, Jose Calderon, and more. Right now we've got John and Aurora. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. John.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, John.
Tough night there for the bettors there, for sure. A nice cover there by the Raptors at +7. Just wanted to start off with that.
What was the number, John? Just curious.
It was 6.5. I had so with Nene out, I think that line was a little bit inflated. So
and we had somebody say that the over under was 192, and it turned out to be what, 99.92, so 191
exactly.
Or 181. So,
hey, Jonesy, I had a quick question for you to start off with. Where does bottom of the well come from? Because I'm a big, like, Raptor fan, been listening to Chuck for a while. Yeah, take out the salami and cheese, mama. Where does bottom of the well come from?
It comes from, for me it comes from when a guy makes a shot and you hear that splash when it's a swish, it's a splash. Well, when you throw something and it splashes, it usually splashes in the bottom of the well.
It's all right. I just wanted to see if what the history was behind.
Yeah, that's it. Bottom of the well, down the drain, you know, drains it. All of those things. I mean, people didn't like it the night Eric and I were calling Kobe's 81, and we kept making references to guns. Kobe squeezes off another one. He fires home another one. But that's the way it goes. So that's just something that you know, I kind of like, and it says to people when they hear it, it's a three ball.
Do you guys ever check up with Chuck Swirsky at all in Chicago, see how he's doing?
We see him on our travels. We saw him last week. Had a chance to chat with him. I was wearing a blue and orange tie, and Bruce Weber just being gone for Illinois. He said everybody's being rumored, and he wondered if I was going to get the Illinois job. I don't know if I could follow the likes of Bruce Weber and you know, Lou Henson back in the day with the Lou Dew, and they had some great players. So no, we do get a chance to talk to Chuck and see him in our travels.
And I guess my last question is, you guys have been talking a lot about, and I hear this a lot, you know, Dwayne Casey and, you know, his fundamentals as a coach. I'm just trying to really get from you guys, because you guys obviously watch all the games, from an X's and O's standpoint, what did he do from a defensive standpoint that Jay Triano could never seem to get this team to do? It's like, I understand that you can get a group of guys and you can motivate them and try to get them to go to work every day, you know, yell in their ear, get them to do what he wants them to do. But from an X's and O's strategy standpoint, what do you guys see on the offensive and defensive side that he just does differently than Triano? I'll listen, take a break and listen to you guys. Thanks.
You know, I'll say this, you know, not downplaying what Jay Triano did on the defensive end, but the schemes are basically, you know, the basics of the schemes are the same. Keep the ball out of the middle, keep it to the baseline, pack the paint, and rebound. I mean, that's how it goes. I think you're going to see that tomorrow night. If Kansas is smart, that's how they'll try and beat Kentucky. Casey's just been able to, for whatever reason, you know, get guys at the beginning of the year, have them buy into it. And there was more emphasis on offense last year. And I think, you know, some of that was Jay Triano, but some of that was also the way the team was built and the way they played. They put an emphasis on, you know, fast breaking. Raptors were number one in the NBA, number one or two last year in the NBA in fast break points. This year, you look down the ledger, fast break points, they're 27th. So you're playing at a different pace. So somebody said to us, wow, isn't it great that, you know, like with Mike D'Antoni off now and you know, close to Brian Colangelo, why don't you bring him in as the offensive coordinator with Dwayne Casey's defense? You got both. Well, wait a minute. You can't just rush up the floor and try to shoot in 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 seconds and then come back and play defense for 23 seconds. It doesn't work like that. The pace of play goes hand in hand as a style with what you do on offense or defense. The Raptors are a team that, because they're, you know, they shifted to that defensive focus, the pace of play is different. You know, you look at their scoring, they're near the bottom of the NBA in scoring and points. They're 28th. So it's just, you know, last year they were near the top in scoring, but their defense wasn't great. So you can't have it both ways. It's kind of the style of play that you decide. And I think Coach Casey has decided this year, we're going to play that defensive style, that you know, slow it down, walk it up. Not that you don't run, but it's an opportunity run. But with people so focused on the defense, sometimes opportunities to run don't always present themselves. And when they do, teams don't always take them. So I think it's a style thing as much as anything else.
416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell. Let's grab one more here before we hear from head coach Dwayne Casey before the top of the hour as well. Mike in Maple, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, thanks. Good.
Listen, the other day I was listening, we were talking, or someone was talking a little bit about the possibility of bringing Steve Nash here, and how great that was going to be from a marketing standpoint. And I just got to think that, you know what, making decisions like that aren't really what a basketball team should be doing. And as great as it would be to have him here, it really doesn't fit with some of the things that we're trying, or the team's trying to do. I mean, as people were ragging Calderon for his defense, I can't imagine Steve Nash doing much more than Calderon would be doing. And also, that takes away from the kind of the point of we're not a novelty. We're not trying to be a Canadian team. We're trying to be a winning team. I'm just wondering what you guys think about that.
Well,
I know it's sacrilegious to talk.
No, it's
Nash, but
no, it's not. It's not. And you know, you make some good points. But I'll say this: just look at the player. I think Steve Nash is still a productive player.
Right.
He's going to be a free agent this year, and teams are looking at him. Teams are going to look at him. I mean, there's speculation: will he go back to Dallas and play with his guy Nowitzki? And he'll look. Steve Nash will make people better. He will. I mean, there was a little chatter about Miami there at one point. Steve Nash makes guys better. He's making Jared Dudley better. He's made Marcin Gortat better. He will make your team better. Yes, you may give something up, but as a team, you get a guy like that. If he's an upgrade, I just think you have to look at it. Plus
now,
the ancillary stuff.
He's 37 coming into next year, right?
And you know what? And he's still going toe-to-toe with these 24, 25-year-old guys and giving them what for, giving it right back to them. So,
and the mythology of the Phoenix training staff where Shaq goes and he's better and Grant Hill goes and he's better. I mean, that's got to be something that comes into play, I would think, before you start committing millions of dollars to a player at the downside of 30. Like, those are things you have to think about.
Hey, you got a guy here. Thanks for the call, man. You got a guy here in Alex McKechnie, who's a director of sports sciences for the Raptors. And Alex was found, quote-unquote, by Shaquille O'Neal, who helped Shaq recover. Shaq said, forget this, man. Stop hanging out with Vancouver. You're coming to work for us in L.A. Alex now has a mitt full. He's got, what, 5, 6 championship rings from being with Phil Jackson? And this guy knows his stuff as a physio, as a guy at sports sciences. I mean, I can't wait to have him put some of those contraptions on me to go out and hit some golf balls to improve my golf swing. So you got a guy that can look after Nash here, too.
All right, before we head out tonight, folks, Raptors beating the Wizards 99-92. Here is the head coach of the Toronto Raptors after the game, his comments, Dwayne Casey.
Ugly. Yeah, that's probably a better word. But, again, for us, it's a win. Again, another below-average defensive game for us. Of all the things, I was disappointed in that. Is our our defensive approach, and that's going to be our challenge as a staff, is to keep in tune defensively the rest of the way, and not lose what foundation we have. And we got it back the second half, but we can't mess with the game like that. We got to make sure we stay with a focus and have that type of pride every time we walk on the floor, no matter who it is, whether it's doesn't matter. So. That's going to be our challenge the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Just a lot of weak side,
not connected. I've got my guy. The trust is eroded a little bit. We got to get that back. Just the timing and recognition of situations is just totally off. Again, you know, totally different 2 weeks ago. So we got to get those things back and continue to harp on them, hit on them. Because if we, you know, we can't lose our foundation.
To get DeMar got going to the rim in that second half, and then the last basket, he got a really good screen from Amir, which was sort of
it was huge. That was a great screen by Amir. You know, it's the old San Antonio move that going down the highway, and he cleared the highway for him, and that was a great screen, legal screen by Amir. And Amir made 2 big plays. The follow-up tip dunk was huge also. It was a great big momentum play, and he played big for us down the stretch. And DeMar did a good job attacking the basket. We knew at halftime we only had 3 free throws. Somebody's going to get fouls. I haven't seen a game yet, and we said, why not us? Attack the basket, attack the rim, and DeMar did a good job of attacking.
When you look at reasons for why that defensive sort of step back, you can't put any on the new guys, obviously, because they're not part of it. But, I mean, what do you
see? It's just a focus, a time of year. I think if you look across the board, the entire NBA, every coach is saying the same thing. It's not really the playoffs for some of the teams. It's not time to really lock in. So kind of going through the malaise of this time of year for us, you know, whatever we're looking at, it doesn't matter. But it usually hits this time of year. They can't see the end of the road, but it's, that just the timing of it, Mike.
There is Dwayne Casey, head coach of the Toronto Raptors, his comments coming after the ball game and saying again right off the top, another another effort that he was not pleased with defensively for his team in spite of the fact that they got the win. And they're going to have to bring that defense, albeit against a team in Charlotte that has struggled mightily this year. As we pointed out at the beginning of the show, Jonesy, two of their wins this year have come against the Raptors. And the last one was in a game where the Raptors seemed to be in control. And then they got dominated by the Bobcats in the second half after Charlotte came all the way back and really dropped the hammer on Toronto.
They played some good teams scoring points in the paint. Let's see what they have Tuesday night against Charlotte because they've slipped in that category recently.
Thanks to everybody involved in the broadcast back at Raptor Central. It was Matt Brown down there doing his thing today, Jonesy. I don't even remember.
Yep,
it's been so long ago
Matty
now.
Brown
downtown
and
Matt
Derek
Brown,
Brandale.
Derek Brandale. Joe Sicilia took over at one point. We've got Dylan Brown down here. His sister was hanging out as well. Aston Duport. Cast of thousands tonight here, helping out, and Len Gremonopoulos in the locker room as well. For Paul Jones, I'm Eric Smith. We're back at it on Tuesday when the Raptors host the Bobcats at 7 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.